This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. Parenting with passion.
This morning I'm continuing my chat with Dr. Cindy Pan. She's got a new book called Head Starts, 100 Tips for Raising Clever, Confident and Creative Kids. I wanted to just talk about the clever part today, Cindy, because there's a lot of myths, I guess, that we hear as parents about what makes our kids brainier. Can we just run through some of those things this morning?
Certainly. I mean, first of all, I'd like to clarify that, being clever is not the be-all and end-all, and we all know that. And there's all kinds of cleverness. And, you know, I mean, artificially, if you want to separate it into IQ and EQ, that is one way of classifying cleverness. But as you know, there's all kinds of ways of being clever. There's street smarts versus academic smarts. And not to say that they're mutually exclusive, but I think you can distinguish them. But certainly this quality of being, of having emotional quotient or EQ versus intellectual quotient, it's hard to say, but obviously they're both important, but
And then there's sort of creative cleverness, and there's different.
That's right. And I think, you know, in the end, it's not really about how beautiful you are or how clever you are. It's really more to do with very intrinsic, subtle personality qualities that I think are in the end the most important. So I don't want to overly emphasize cleverness as if that is the most important thing to nurture in our children. But of course, you know, we want to enhance whatever cleverness.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, I haven't really ever tried to make my kids smarter or anything like that. But
well, you know, without wanting to put a damper on things, a lot of IQ is actually genetic. Environmental factors do have some effect, and there's a chapter about that. And in fact, environmental factors have more of an effect on kids with relatively lower IQ. Kids with relatively higher IQ, certainly this is what the studies show, they can thrive in almost any environment because purely by nature of having the high IQ, they're often able to draw out stimulation out of even the poorest environment. Whereas kids with start with relatively low or moderate IQ, they tend to not do so well in a relatively poorly stimulating environment, whereas they will do better in a more highly educationally stimulating environment.
Now, I remember as a new parent being given one of those Baby Einstein DVDs and being a bit cynical about it myself. Do Baby Einstein DVDs make your baby smarter?
Okay, well, first of all, I don't know that I want my baby to be Einstein.
Exactly.
What a troubled life, and I think we only need one Einstein.
But they're selling a lot of them, aren't they? I mean, they're everywhere.
But certainly the studies that we looked at and which we presented in the book, they didn't show that these made your baby cleverer. And in fact, what we found in our reading and what we certainly support is that there is no greater teacher than the human being, and ideally that should be the mother or the father or just a real life person responding sensitively and with enthusiasm and warmth. That is always going to be better than Baby Einstein or Baby Galileo or Baby Stephen Hawking. And again, I think this idea that you want your child to be like Einstein or like any other individual in history or in the current day, that in some ways is anathema to the whole concept of sensitive parenting, because the whole idea of sensitive parenting is that you accept and try and discover a wonderful and miraculous revelation who in fact your child is, rather than that you have already a preset ideal that they're going to be like, you know, Einstein, Margot Fontaine or Ian Thorpe.
Exactly. And you want to bring out the unique them.
That's right. And that is the beauty and the delight of parenting, is actually discovering with your child who they are. You help your child discover who they are. You help yourself discover who they are. And, of course, in getting to know your child, you will discover so much more about who you are, both as a parent and as a human being. Be open to discovering your child and letting your child teach you. If anything, in terms of parenting and teaching in general, I favour the sort of Socratic approach, whereby rather than telling children things necessarily, you ask them and help them figure it out for themselves. And I guarantee you will be surprised at how much you learn when you ask them.
Having said that, though, a lot of parents are feeding their kids multivitamins and fish oil. Does that actually, you know, help them do better, or is it a waste of time?
I think that fish oil definitely has a lot of benefits both for adults and kids. So, yes, I think that fish oil and obviously eating fish and getting the fish oil naturally definitely is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of multivitamins, we've all heard the, you know, the cliche that, you know, these will only be beneficial if your dietary intake is inadequate. But I think that what we have to accept is that in many cases the dietary intake is inadequate,
uh-huh,
or can be inconsistent. So again, I think multivitamins can be helpful, although obviously will not replace or will never be as good as having a genuinely nutritious, balanced diet.
Uh-huh.
Is your child mainly eating nuggets and chips? If that is the case, yes, you will benefit from taking a multivitamin.
But it's better if they don't eat nuggets and chips.
It doesn't, beg your pardon?
But it's obviously better if they're not just eating nuggets and chips.
Well, I mean, that nuggets and chips are fine, but not exclusion of other things. So obviously do your best to try and give them a balanced, healthy diet, but then obviously be realistic with yourself. You know, how much of those vegetables did they eat, and how much were in the floor, and how much went in the bin, and, you know, use your common sense.
Okay. Now, what about Mozart? I mean, we've all heard that if you play your baby classical music in the womb or when they're young, that it'll make them smarter. Is there any truth in that one?
It won't do them any harm, and it certainly have a nice calming effect on probably everyone, including your dog. But what the research tended to show was that it wasn't necessarily anything magical about Mozart, and that, in fact, any kind of upbeat music could sort of give you a bit of a lift in your mood, which could increase your, you know, cognitive performance, but it was not a long-term effect. But on the other hand, learning music and studying music, the discipline, the analysis and synthesis, and just the cognitive stimulation, and just all the different processes in learning a musical instrument, both sort of the physical and the mental, and having to put it all together, as well as, I guess, you know, the sensual development and the sensitivity and the artistic and cultural benefits, that definitely can help enhance your child's cognitive performance, both in the present and in the future. So learning music, yes, definitely. Listening to music generally, yes. Mozart specifically, not necessarily.
Okay. And then finally, the ongoing battle between reading and television. Now, we all know we're supposed to read to our babies, but we also have this idea that TV kind of makes you stupid. What's the truth there?
It's a question of balance. I mean, I think the thing is that obviously reading to your child is better than putting them in front of a TV. But obviously, you know, adults have things they need to do too. They need to go to the toilet, they need to brush their teeth, they need to cook, they need
have a shower,
you know,
yes.
They might have work deadlines. There are various things that parents need to do from time to time, even if it's just folding laundry or pulling things out of the washing machine. And from time to time, television can play a great role. And certainly, you know, there are many of those, you know, say Disney movies, where, you know, it can bring a great deal of enjoyment and entertainment, fun and laughter into the household. But I think, obviously, you really need to keep this in balance. And I think the thing is that it is unlikely. I have yet to meet many children who suffer from a deficit of television watching. But so I think that, you know, even without trying, your child will probably get enough exposure to television. You know, even if it's just when they go to their friend's place.
Yes.
Whereas I think you need to emphasise the kind of the reading aspect of things more. I think, having said that, once you teach your child to love books, and they can actually read, or, you know, they can actually seek out books and seek out stimulation. And certainly the more you have a clever child, the clever children, you don't have to ask them to read. You have to ask them to stop reading at the table or on the toilet.
Come and wash up, yeah.
Like my 7-year-old will, you know, look for reading material, a stack of it, before he goes to do a poo.
Well, I learned very quickly that I could get out of washing up if I was reading, because my mum just wanted me to read. So she'd say to my dad, "No, honey, she's got a head in a book. Just let her read." And I could get out of washing up. It was great.
See, that just shows how clever you were. I don't know if you read that in a book.
All right.
Well, that is genius, that work. And a child who can figure that out, it's got it made. But, I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, some children are more bookish than others, but, I struggle to think of a child who is immersed in books and love books who is not also probably a very bright, intelligent child who is obviously actively enhancing whatever the cognitive skills they already have. I think, you know, nurturing in children a love of books is a wonderful thing. And in general, there is no need to nurture a love of television, but it seems to be like nurturing a love of chocolate.
It just happens organically.
It seems to take a lot of priming. I think, you know, if you put chocolate on the table every day, you could guarantee they would eat it.
Yes.
Whereas putting broccoli on the table every day, that's probably more what you need to do, is to nurture a love of broccoli. And, I think, Once they grow to love books and they discover the magic of books, then, you know, then it's it's a gift that you give them that lasts for a lifetime. Mm. And it enhances everything. And I think, you know, in terms of not just their intellectual, cognitive and academic development, it will help them with their emotional development and in every way. Because a child who can, when they're upset, escape in a book and take themselves to another place, you've given them the gift of time travel, geographical channel. They can take themselves to another place anytime they want. Mm. You know, give them a library card, and you know, you really have opened up the whole world to them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in terms of television and the internet, obviously, I think television is now no longer such a big deal because now it's more YouTube and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kids can do without television quite well because, you know, as long as they've got a computer, they can access whatever they like. But obviously, there are certain things you prefer them to access on the computer rather than the, you know, Australia's Funniest Home Video style. But again, it's a question of finding a balance. And I think I'm very, very much in favour, as you must have picked out, in respecting children for their likes and dislikes. I think, you know, to some extent you've got to say, well, if they're so interested in that, maybe there really is something in it, and give them some respect for that. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't mean you let them play, you know, Nintendo or Ninjago Lego yeah. games constantly. Yeah. You just got to find some balance. And you can use your common sense as a parent. And I think the thing is to give them access to a wide variety of ways of stimulating themselves and encourage them to have some degree of variety. Having said that, some children are very, very active and it's hard to make them sit down and read a book, whereas other kids are, you know, relatively more sedentary, indoorsy, bookish, and it's hard to get them to put a book down to go outside.
Mm.
And I think, you know, to some degree you have to respect their natural instincts and respect their natural strengths and talents, and just do the best you can to nurture a balanced, healthy individual.
Sure. Okay. Well, it's lovely to talk to you again, Dr. Cindy Pan. I appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure, Katrina.
Yeah, that's Dr. Cindy Pan. Her new book is called Head Starts, 100 Tips for Raising Clever, Confident, Creative Kids.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.